Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there's pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
I have every intention of coming back. I don't know how to come back, but I don't know how not to. Those are the words of Savannah Guthrie, Today Show host, speaking privately to her Today Show colleagues in New York City. She visited today as the search for her mother, Nancy Guthrie, continues incredibly into day 33.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, STS Nation? Welcome to Surviving Survivor. This is, in fact, the global phenomenon, bringing you the very best guests in all of true crime. I read an email on air. I think I'm going to start a segment. Carm is coming tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And I don't even know her name. Let's just call her Susan. I think that is her name, actually. Wrote me a little bit of what I would describe as a hate mail, saying, I can't stand you. I can't stand your whining. I can't stand your complaining. And I can't believe you call your show a global phenomenon. What arrogance. So now I'm thinking of calling it a universal phenomenon, but it is certainly still a global phenomenon with more than 50 countries represented. So buzz off, Susan. It's been a long day. It's a Thursday. Carm's coming in tomorrow. It's been a lot of news, everybody, and I'm starting to get it can be a little fatiguing. Oh, I can't believe this guy's complaining. But hey, you guys know what I'm saying. It's true crime, and it can get a little we'll talk to Casey Jordan about this, part attorney, part criminologist, part my personal therapist. But tonight we start in New York City, where Savannah Guthrie returned to the Today Show studio. Studio used to be 2A. I don't know if you guys know this, but I actually started my storied career in broadcast news that basically went nowhere. But I started as an NBC page in New York City at 30 Rock. And I made a name for myself, and I'll tell you why real quick. I'm in a weird mood, obviously. But a woman named Rosie O'Donnell, you may have heard of her, one-time stand-up comic who said she was leaving the country, and she left the country. Apparently, she's coming back. But she had a little TV show. And it was actually being done out of the same studio as Saturday Night Live, right when I was a page at 30 Rock. And no one knew about the show back then, and barely anyone knew who she was. And I remember you got to fill seats, and not a single seat was filled in Studio 8A, I want to say. And so what did I do with like 30 minutes to taping in New York City? I said to myself, what would an NYPD detective do to fill seats at Studio 8A where the famed Saturday Night Live tapes? What would someone do? I did not know David Sarney back then, but what I did was I ran out to Fifth Avenue, and like they were taxi cabs, I flagged down two giant white tour buses filled with tourists from Tokyo. And I asked them if they wanted to see a real live American show, the Rosie O'Donnell show. And they promptly parked, filed out, filed into Studio 8A. And that was when the glory days began. I filled up the studio. Rosie O'Donnell was ecstatic. Was it the Rosie O'Donnell show? It was a Rosie O'Donnell show. It might have been someone else, but I think it was Rosie O'Donnell. Anyway, I got a couple of pats on the back. And so we're back now in New York City, 30 Rock. It's Savannah Guthrie talking to her colleagues. Now, it's important to know she wasn't on air. She didn't go on air, but she told colleagues behind the scenes that she's got to get back to work. She just doesn't know how to do it. And so she's trying to figure that out as investigators back in Tucson continue to try to piece it all together. After that rather lengthy intro, let me introduce best guests, starting off with the therapist to me, Dr. Casey Jordan, criminologist, attorney, all around smart person when it comes to true crime. Next up, Kurt Dabb. You know him well from our show. He's back. Pima County. He is retired, but a former Pima County homicide detective. And last but certainly not least, you've got David Sarney, retired NYPD detective. It was the Rosie O'Donnell show. Kind of losing my mind, but it was the Rosie O'Donnell show. David Sarney, what do you think about that? For ingenuity, I pulled over two giant tour buses and filled up Studio 8A.
You got to do what you got to do, and that's the best part of it. And then they were tourists, so they have no idea who Rosie is, and you got them in. That's all it comes down to.
They had no idea at all. Let's just start with the latest. I mean, Casey Jordan, to you, day 33. It's hard to believe that we're here. I mean, again, putting things back into perspective, Brian Koberger, 7 weeks. I mean, most cases take a while to figure out and investigate. But did you think we'd be at day 33 with, you know, someone as high profile as Savannah Guthrie and her mother going missing?
I'm not surprised. I'm really not. And I guess I just want to play a game. If this had happened to anybody else whose daughter is not the, you know, world-renowned Savannah Guthrie of the NBC Today show, it would be day 33. It might be day 333. We became so enthralled, so engaged. We all love Savannah. We wanted Nancy to come home. And I think that because we're so invested in it, we think it should be solved quickly. Mm-hmm. And being the mother of a celebrity does not make anything move more quickly, frankly, even though the media, the eyes on the case maybe move things along at a little more attentive pace because they've got to account to the masses. This is one for the textbooks. And we all keep saying that over and over again. It's been a roller coaster ride. We thought it was, a kidnapping for profit. I don't think anyone's going with that theory anymore. So day 33 for a bungled burglary gone wrong. Yeah, I'm not surprised, frankly.
Thank you for that. Please say that again. Say the last part again.
We are going to get him. It's just going to take a while.
100%. I agree. Kurt Dabb. I saw your buddy, Sergeant Aaron Cross, talking to Brian Anton last night, and dude's got guns, and I don't mean SWAT guns. He's jacked. he's taking care of business in Tucson. But what's, you've obviously been on the show quite a bit as of late. Things sort of status quo on the ground. What's the word today, day 33?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from anybody. This is the phase of the case, you know, like you've been seeing where things slow down. They've organized this task force. I think Aaron said he heard that they, you know, put four detectives over there. Whether or not they're the homicide unit over at the FBI office, or maybe one or two of them and maybe a couple of other experienced homicide detectives, you know, that they have working in other positions. But now is the time to keep tracking down those leads, play catch up on the case reports. You know, other deputies, detectives have to get back to their cases. You know, crime happens every day. I think in the eighth day of this investigation, the Sheriff's Department had two homicide investigations same day. So, you know, the pieces are still moving, but I agree with the doctor. You know, it's only a matter of time before for something breaks.
100%. Kurt, one other question right here. Was Kurt camping again? Stuff is hanging behind him. We've got a very astute audience. Were you camping again?
Nope, I did it on purpose just to see if anyone recognized. No, those are my jujitsu gis. So you can't dry them, otherwise they'll shrink.
That's awesome. So how long have you been rolling for, if I may ask?
I've been rolling for a little over 2 years. August will be 3 years.
Wow.
So yeah, it's an important part. I found out, you know, it was an important part of my post-traumatic growth and, you know, mental health therapy. So it does wonders.
Wow. Congrats, man. That's awesome. And may I ask, are you blue? Are you a blue belt at this point?
I am a one stripe blue belt, which means absolutely nothing in the jujitsu world and to those who do not do jujitsu.
Yeah, no, it's impressive to me. By the way, Ellie Doc, don't tell Aaron this, but he's definitely a candidate of Men of the STS calendar. Eventually that will be released. I think Kurt Dabb and Sarny get on there as well. But David Sarny, on a serious note, listen, every missing person, every homicide, they're all important. Are we guilty at Surviving Survivor? Is the media guilty of just spending too much time? By the way, with that said, Carmen and I think are going to be discussing this tomorrow. But I do think it's important after a while, you know, we've got to keep tabs on it and we've got to stay, you know, current with it. But, I, you know, there's a lot of other stories to cover. What are your thoughts on this, David?
You know, it's a 24-hour news cycle. We've seen this before. And, you know, I know in New York, we've had local networks talk about it. And I've seen the comments and people are becoming very bitter. I think New York audiences tend to be a little bit more. It's like there's more people missing and this and that. Why are we continuing to do this? The reality is it's a combination of things. It is an unusual case. It's a high profile case. It doesn't disappear. It disappears the media on the media side. But the reality is the detective who's got this case still has to deal with it. And the squad and everyone else, the investigators have to deal with this. It's still working. It's still a working case. You know, media, you know, people are at this point where we get beaten and battered and we rotate these cycles very quickly. As soon as something happens, there's the next thing that goes on. And that gets attention. It gets attention because it is a kind of a, you know, generation, you know, you're talking about Generation X, where it's like people in our 30s, 40s and 50s know who Samantha Guthrie is. You talk to younger kids and I teach in college and I actually use this case as a sample. They didn't know Samantha Guthrie was at all. And you're talking about kids in their teens and 20s. So it affects people because it could be your mom. And I think when it comes to grandmothers, everyone has an affection for their family. And that's where people kind of empathize and sympathize. I always empathize. I hate sympathizing. Understand that Samantha is going through a serious, serious hardship right now. I mean, you could see in her face how pain she is. And the family's going through a lot. Everyone does that. And I understand there's other missings and there are other cases out there. But it's one of those cases that does affect because it could happen to anyone. And the scary part is not just anyone. You could be taken and may never be found. And that's something that kind of scares people. So with all the work that's being done on it, we want to catch the people who did this. But it's still one of those cases that's kind of wild in the sense that someone could just be snatched within moments, within a couple hours of being home and not be seen for over a month.
Yeah. I mean, Kurt knows this and I've talked about this a lot. But when I was reporting in Tucson where I met the COE, there was a big high profile case back maybe 2008, Kay Reed. And the killer has been convicted, but the body has never been found from 2008. And she was in her late 60s. You know, I was in my 30s back then and she seemed like 90 to me. But she, I believe, in her late 60s. I believe her mother was actually even alive at the time. But that is a very, very scary prospect that, you know, I hope that's not the case. I hope she is, you know, found. I hope she's found alive. If not, I hope she's recovered. But I did not see this. Kurt, just back to you. Are you aware of this poster in front of Nancy's house asking the media to please not go home?
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred, Ethel, and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Have you heard anything?
No, I have not. But it doesn't surprise me, right? Because, I mean, it's plainly and painfully obvious that, I guess you can use the terminology, you know, the case has gone cold from a public perspective, but definitely not from an investigative, you know, perspective. Mm-hmm. Once the media goes away, I'm sure, you know, the neighbors have been, you know, have felt really safe, you know, the past month with everybody being there. And, you know, especially when not much happens up in that neighborhood, and to have it go from 0 to 100, you know, which I would consider, you know, a garden theft, a 1 in, you know, the hierarchy of crime, and, you know, and then you have kidnapping and, you know, homicide at the very top. So I'm sure that, you know, the neighbors would like the people to remain there. And I think a lot of, you know, the public does too, but man, you guys have so many other cases, so many, you know, other things to, you know, discuss and talk about and, you know, theorize about, just like the cops have, you know, all these other cases that they have to work. Unfortunately, it's the way the cookie crumbles in this business.
Yeah, we have, by the way, video. I'm getting to it in a moment. The COE is reminding me. Also, since this is day 33, Kurt's been here a lot. David's been here a lot. Casey's been here a lot. But please, tonight, if you have questions, I'll reserve a good chunk of time with triple Qs to go. I mean, obviously, I'll pepper them in as we go. But let's do kind of a question period toward the back half of the show here. Max Rebo here, Dr. Casey, to you. Brian Enton, News Nation, had reported on this elder abuse theory, and we know that there was this card from, like, elder care services or whatever it was, like, the first day or so. But that happened after there was notification that she went missing, that someone came by and left a card. So that wasn't, you know, there was no theory there that maybe that person was connected. But the bigger question, Casey, have you evolved any sort of theory in your own mind about what happened here? Could it be someone that's just simply preying on the elderly, potentially?
I have gone through ups and downs with this case as evidence has come out and different theories have really not panned out, mostly kidnapping for profit. We believe that all of the communications that came in to TMZ and the local news stations were hoaxes. There's no evidence whatsoever, no proof of life, no proof of anything to support that she was taken for profit. And if she were alive, a ransom demand, a legitimate one, would have been made very quickly. So the bottom line is, after I am stuck on the guy on the porch and his buffoonery with picking the flowers and jamming them into the camera lens, again, if kidnapping were the aim, it would be, in my experience, and kidnappings are very rare and they're very hard to get away with, in terms, unless they're sexually motivated and, you know, you're going to keep the person as a captor. But kidnappings for profit of millionaires, very, very hard to get away with. The bottom line is, we haven't seen a case like this, but I think that this was a burglary, and our cops are going to remind you that a burglary is the breaking and entering with the intent to commit a felony. Could be any felony. Can't rob a house. So don't talk about he's a robber, but he's a burglar. He broke in. Okay. What was his intent is the big question mark. Was it a theft? Was it a kidnapping? Was it sexual in nature? Don't dismiss that as a possibility. Mm. The bottom line is, I think this was a burglary gone wrong. And usually if you're going for goods, you break in the day when people are at work. But if it's a little old lady's house, and by the way, little old ladies have tons of gold and silver and jewelry and things that easily go into a backpack, right? And they make very good targets, but they're home during the day. So it's possible this burglar saw Nancy go in the Uber, didn't see her come home, came in thinking the house was unoccupied, surprised her, because we have that 42-minute weird period. That's not typical. Burglars get in, get out. So my theory is that it was a burglary gone wrong. And the biggest question I have, I don't think this burglar knew who Nancy Guthrie was. I don't think this person had any idea that this was the mother of a very famous wealthy person. What if Nancy, however, told him this and said, please don't hurt me. I have family. They'll pay whatever you want. What if she died by accident, fell, hit her head, had a heart attack? What if she scratched him, got DNA under the nails? Then this bungling burglar needs to remove her from the house to maximize his chances of getting away with it. So after playing 1,000 different scenarios through my head, I am going with the bungling burglar who panicked and in the throes of adrenaline and panic, because panicking people do stupid things, took her out of the house. And just by the luck of the draw, that's how he's gotten away with it. Because I think, I don't know that she was removed alive or dead. We'll never know that. But I think this will be solved by him either screwing up on another crime and we'll get his DNA from that and match it. Or somebody will come across Nancy, perhaps in the desert, and perhaps we will get evidence that way.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I do know we had Greg Rogers, who's a longtime deep undercover. He teaches in Utah now at a university level. He disagrees with Casey, but that's what makes this world a wonderful place. He believes it was, in fact, an intended kidnapping, abduction of some sort. And I think one day we will have the answer. But to me, it's just fascinating to hear people like Dr. Casey Jordan, who, by the way, is more of like, you know, a criminologist. And let's say Greg Rogers, who's literally a retired deep undercover FBI agent, just to hear different theories and why they think that. Now, David Sarney, by the way, the tip line for those listening, 1-800-CALL-FBI, 1-800-CALL-FBI, or 1-800-225-5324, 1-800-225-5324. But David, and then we'll get to the video. There was a question. Here it is right here. Could you do a panel one day with advice from Gail Watkins from their experience on safety for seniors living alone? I mean, David Sarney, if my mother, who is 86, she happens to live in a building with security, but let's say you're living alone as an older person, what are two or three pieces of advice, David, that you have for them?
Obviously, some connectivity, either a landline, something, you know, because when you talk about phones, those always can go out, and a landline would be also good. Surveillance cameras, parents may not want it, but in areas that are entrances and exits, making sure that there's constant communication. In other words, always calling every day, every other day to see what's up. You know, that's how you kind of keep the connection and find out what their day is like. For safety, it comes back to routine. And that's the thing about elderly. The elderly tend to do a lot of routine things. They'll do things a particular way and consistently do that. Know their routines. Know your family's routines. Know the elders' routine, what they do, because that, I think, is a way to know if something is not right. Physically with them, mentally with them, that they're not doing what they normally do. All of a sudden, there's something else that's going on. When it comes to the safety, those are things that are just basic. It's just the constant communication is one of the ways to at least know. Call me. I'm going to call you every day at 5 o'clock or whatever. I'm going to call you or text you. Some people are more tech savvy. My parents are older. My aunt's 90. She is useless with the phone. So you call and you call back and forth. How's everything? What's going on? You know, you have to sometimes reach out just that way. If you want to have, you know, we have these cameras are available. You deal with, and I don't want to prop, you know, prop or give anyone props, but there's cameras that you can use for your apps, not only just your apps, but at home. There are cameras that are there that they don't have to see that, but it's available. Like my house, we have cameras all over the place. And one camera is at the front door, the back door, and we have an interior camera. So just having that available so you can always check. And you used to have, remember the old red alerts? Those things were always a really, people thought, oh, I've fallen, I can't get up. But that was really good. That idea is a really good idea. It's like a panic button in a sense that 911 gets contacted immediately if something happens.
David, my mother has one of those, but then I found out, I did not know, at the Apple Watches all are built in with that now. So time to trade in.
Never thought my own mother would have a life alert. By the way, one of my favorite things to post on Instagram at Surviving Survivor are my FaceTime calls with my mom, because it's always upside down. She's not in frame, and I don't even say anything. I just post them. People seem to appreciate that. Kurt Dabb, this is actually probably more of a Casey Jordan, so I'll get both your takes, and then we'll watch the video. But if you had to guess, the perps involved here, whether it's a botched home invasion or an intended kidnapping of some sort that went wrong, do you think that they're watching Brian Enten and maybe Surviving Survivor and other shows? Are they looking at the media to see what is going on?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the first questions I would always ask my homicide suspects is, you know, what'd you see on the news? Sometimes you can even tell, you know, by the answers to the questions that you give, you know, whether they saw something on the media. You know, we may put out, you know, fake stuff out there. So, yeah, I think it's highly possible and more likely than, you know, probable that the suspects, I say suspects because I believe that there's more than one, you know, are watching some media anyways.
Casey Jordan, are they watching or he watching?
Yes. I'm totally open to more than one theory, but 100%. In fact, I ask, and I, you know, in my defense work, I interview a lot of known criminals because they're being charged with burglary. So I've talked to hundreds of felons in prison and also learned a lot from my own clients. But the bottom line is I have a very distinct memory of covering the DC sniper case in 2002, I believe it was. And at that exact time, I was spending a lot of time in Attica prison interviewing a serial killer named Kendall Francois. Mm-hmm. And I would go there every Sunday to interview him. And I asked him, I said, hey, why don't you tell me what these snipers are doing? You're the expert. And he was like, well, the first thing they're doing is watching TV. They're watching every single thing, every single night on the news. They're obsessed with it. And, you know, he killed 8 women and watched the news every night to see if anybody was reporting on it. That's how he knew whether they were getting close. So every felon I've talked to is racked with paranoia, unless they're a true psychopath, after they commit the crime. And that paranoia makes them huge consumers. They're going to be channel flipping all the time. And that's one of the best clues if we're looking for abnormal behavior on somebody right after, you know, February 1st. Were they obsessively watching the news when they never watched it before? Did they miss work? Did they quit their job? Did they move out? Things like that. Disruption of the behavior, but obsession with news, the 24-hour news cycle on this. Absolutely. And trust me, it modifies their behavior, which is why the holdbacks the police have are so important. We don't need to know everything. Everything that they hear, they use to modify their behavior.
Only heard by a criminologist. I was spending a lot of time up in Attica interviewing Kendall Francois, a serial killer, not something you hear every day. What's up? Is Kendall... Go ahead, Kurt. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And also the first thing I ever heard from a defense attorney is the cops don't have to give up all the evidence.
Yeah, that too. Ski Hat Sarah. Dr. Jordan's on the money. Her theory is supported by Google Trends. Kendall Francois, he murdered 8 women. Is he still on this earth, still in prison?
No. No, he died of testicular cancer. So there is a God. And that was just poetic justice, if you ask me. But I interviewed him for years and he sent me hundreds of letters and he's not very well known. But he was very interesting because he was an African-American man, 6'4", 400 pounds. He did not exactly blend. You know, he was hiding in plain sight, working as a monitor at the middle school. But he killed 8 sex workers and they were all white. And we don't see that much interracial crime. It's usually intra-racial. So you don't see that very often. So I did a big study on him for a number of years. No, he's no longer with us.
Wow, that's fascinating.
No one's shedding any tears about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like some serious karma going on right there. But all right, without further ado, this is the Today Show. I believe it's Jenna Bush. And I honestly have no idea who the co-host is because tomorrow I'll wear my new T-shirt. How about that? It'll give you an idea why I don't know who this other host is. But this is the Today Show today, ironically.
We have had a powerful morning this morning.
Yeah. Savannah has come back to her home here at 30 Rock in Studio 1A. We got to see her this morning, and in her perfect way, she talked to all of us, hugged every single person in this room, the crew.
And upstairs.
Yeah, she said that, you know, she has the intention to return to the show, even though it feels like the hardest thing to do. It's also her home and where she feels so loved, and she is beyond loved here. And so we're happy that she is home. I don't know when she's actually returning to the show, but she was here, and that felt so good to get to hug her.
So this is just happening, right? This just in. And so Jen and I haven't had a chance to talk about it amongst each other. But this is what I will share with you is when Savannah's here, you know, we've all been waiting for her. We've been wearing our pins, and everybody, I know I'm just like touching her and we're hugging, and everybody wants to lay eyes on her. But it's interesting because I think I handle moments like this differently now, because I am in some ways, I'm not smiling, but I feel I'm proud of Savannah and I'm rooting for Savannah. And I know the strength that it would take to even just come in here and to be amongst all of us. Mm-hmm. And so I see it as we're in this storm and we're not out of the storm, but there's a light somewhere, even in the midst of the storm. And I think her coming here and just being able to be with us and for us to be able to hug her, I think it's a step, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what's ahead of us, but all I know is it is a step. And for me, anytime you can take a step, I celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at her and I hugged her and I'm like, you know what? You are here. Mm-hmm. And we love you.
Yeah.
Everyone loves you. And
I'm just going to hold it there because it goes on a little bit longer. But Dr. Casey Jordan, I mean, this is morning television. This is obviously, and you see Savannah there on the set. That's a photo of her. But it's also, you know, it's beautiful, but also I would suggest maybe slightly awkward because they have to acknowledge this in a very public setting. You know, it's not like, you know, someone who's grieving obviously privately or having a this conversation in front of millions of Americans who tune into this show every morning. Just curious about, I mean, they seem obviously incredibly genuine. Someone said Jenna is one of Savannah's best friends, but what do you make of what we just watched?
Guess what, SDS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
So, I mean, I think the NBC Today Show is absolutely thrilled to have her back. Cynics will say this is perhaps the very best thing that's ever happened to the Today Show in terms of ratings, because there is such an outpouring. People who never heard of Savannah before now will watch her. And my concern is for Savannah and how she copes, her mental health, because she is under a microscope. And to have the camera on you and have everybody, millions of people watching you every morning going, you know, are they really hearing what you're saying? Are they listening to your intelligent conversation, you know, and your years of experience? You know, she's an attorney as well. She's highly intelligent. Are they really like watching the Today Show for the news, for the cultural, for the media coverage, all that stuff? Or are they watching it for Savannah? I wouldn't want that kind of scrutiny. She's incredibly strong. I think she needs the routine in her life right now to put one foot in front of the other. So I'm thrilled that she's going back because I think that it gives her life purpose. And I think that if this had ended very negatively, she would have retired because she'd be heartbroken and grieving. But not knowing, you get to a point, and I've known many, many people whose loved ones have never been found, been victims of serial killers, and they just will never have the answer. That is a certain kind of hell that you live in, never knowing. But I do think that there will be answers at some point in the future. And in the meantime, what is she going to do? Sit at home and wait for the phone to ring? She's going to put one foot in front of the other and go back to work. I just hope that the scrutiny that she lives under doesn't destroy her sense of privacy.
Yeah.
Because everything about her is now going to be in the news. If she goes to the grocery store, we're going to be following her. I mean, that's my concern. I want her to have a peaceful private life while she deals with these intense emotions.
Yeah. And Chanel, apparently, I remember reading about this now, her just recently lost her husband. So it's kind of tragic all around. And I think that's why she was saying you just have to take steps forward. And someone said you just never know what someone's going through. And here you do know what someone's going through on a very public level, which is why I think it is so relatable. And I think David Sarney was saying this early in the show, but it is so relatable because everyone at some point loses somebody. And here she is doing it in front of the world. You see here Jenna's godmother to Savannah's daughter and vice versa, and they're best friends. Kurt Dapp, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to go out on a limb and say you do not tune in to the third hour of the Today Show. I have no idea what hour that was, but are you a big Today Show fan, Kurt Dapp?
No, man, I haven't watched any of that stuff since I was a little kid. My mom, who's watching this right now, by the way, she probably does watch the Today Show.
Yeah, well, shout out to Ms. Dabb. And Ms. Dabb is welcome on my show whenever she would like to come on. Raised a good son. But, well, I mean, your thoughts as a retired homicide detective watching again this very tragic situation playing out in a very public way here on the Today Show.
Yeah, you know, I think it just goes to this entire case. You know, it's unfortunate that it has been played out in public. I mean, if this was any of our parents, you know, dare I say, it wouldn't have gotten this type of publicity, and we wouldn't have been forced to respond in such a public way, you know, to possibly bogus, you know, ransom stuff and all this nonsense. So my heart breaks for her, but, you know, like the doctor said, this is an extremely important part of the grieving process. You know, the world doesn't stop when our loved ones are lost. We have to find a way to carry on, and I'm glad to see that she's out there.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pull up. Thank you, Kurt. I'm going to pull up Mama Kurt, as we call her now. That's her new official name. Let me pull this up here again, and we'll play out the rest. COE, can you pull that up so we don't
Whenever
double?
You're ready. We are here. And so for me, I
should take it back.
So
hair
I
here.
I see it as we're in this storm, and we're not out of the storm, but there's a light somewhere, even in the midst of the storm. And I think her coming here and just being able to be with us and for us to be able to hug her, I think it's a step, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what's ahead of us, but all I know is it is a step. And for me, anytime you can take a step, I celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at her and I hugged her and I'm like, you know what? You are here. Mm-hmm. And we love you.
Yeah.
Everyone loves you. And whenever you're ready, we are here. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I feel encouraged this morning that we are one step closer just to getting a step to wherever it's going to be, that she was able to actually feel us. And I think even for her to see us in our pins, and
yeah,
I can't imagine, you know.
She said the yellow flowers and the pins, all of your prayers, she feels them. She depends on them. She said, and she has said this to me before during all of this, but her pastor said, and I think she wouldn't mind me sharing this, he said, you know, God is our last resort. And she said, no. God has always been my first resort. Mm. So thank you all for your continued support and your love for all of us, but particularly for Savannah and for Annie and for Cam and for their families, because she is, you know, one of the most precious things in our lives.
And she said it before, she feels your prayers and your well wishes and all of it. And I think we just keep it going.
Yeah.
We just keep loving her. We keep our arms around her, and we're going to get her back here.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's beautiful, David Sarney. And I mean this seriously, that she, you know, she's a very religious woman, always has been, and just said that,
you know, God was not her last resort, but her first resort. And I think in the world that we're living in, which is surrounded by, you know, living on social media and these places that when I look at, and the COE and Carm will attest to it, because there were some really awful things said on Twitter today, to the point where I told Carm I might have to end up in prison because I was taking personal offense to things that were being said. There is this tremendous show of love here. The only thing, I was in broadcast news long enough to know that there are executives who are, in no way do I mean taking pleasure in this tragedy, but they are not enjoying the ratings that this is going to get. So it's kind of, what do you do? I mean, because if you bring her on, you're going to get higher ratings. We're going to play it. So, you know, but I know that there's executives who are definitely not going to be disappointed about that. But there is something sort of beautiful about the colleagues coming together and standing by her. I mean, these are her best friends and her coworkers. And look, at the end of the day, Savannah Guthrie seems like a genuinely sweet person, not, you know, like a good person. And I've known a lot of people in broadcast news that I cannot say the same thing about, who are genuinely not good people or very flawed. So I just said a lot to say nothing other than what do you think about that? By the way, it's the fourth hour. COE, that gave me an idea. I think we'll have to start the fifth hour of STS maybe in 2 weeks. We have to beat them out by 1 hour. David Sarney, what about watching this in such a public way?
She has a big support network, and that's something that's vital when you're dealing with trauma and tragedy. And I think Kurt has seen it when we have victims of crime, they don't have such a good support network. That's the thing. We unfortunately, when it comes to law enforcement, we don't have that. We're not part of that. It's good that the families and friends, relatives, and every co-workers are all together and, you know, supporting her. We've dealt, and Kurt, I guarantee you've dealt with cases where the family has nowhere to go, or the loved one has nowhere to go and nowhere to turn. It's enlightening to see. But like I said, when it comes to law enforcement, we will be empathetic. We will feel for them, but what drives us is to get the person that did it. And then I remember this, if anyone see this movie, LA Confidential, and there was a line, Guy Pearce said, you know, why'd you become a cop, to Kevin Spacey's character? And he's like, well, Rollo Tomasi. And I want to catch the guy who thinks he gets away with it. And that's why. And the same thing when with investigators. And I will tell you this, it drives me mad as a detective, because you have all of this information. You've gone through all the leads. You want to do what's right, not the right thing. You want to do what's right for the family and find Nancy and find the people who did this. And you're that's when the support has to come in too for the investigator, because a lot of this they take home and they've got to deal with that. And it does cause sometimes a lot of damage personally to someone's home life, because as an investigator, I don't know how many detectives are on this. I don't know who the lead detective is, but this is taking part a lot of his life away from his family, his friends. So understanding that too, that when we have support on one side, when you have cases like this, law enforcement also needs support their fellow brethren when it comes to these type of cases, because it does affect people. It affects everybody.
Why no Cajun Navy? We're going to get to that. That's part of the discussion tonight because it's in the news. David Sarney, what inspired you to become a police officer? And there's a big part of me that feels like you were like a 9-year-old kid in Brooklyn watching a movie, and something in that movie made you say, I'm going to become a cop.
Well, I was a teacher before. I started high school teaching at the age of like 22. And I couldn't get a real job. No one wanted to hire a 23-year-old teacher. And I was doing like in between gigs, a lot of stuff. And I was a personal trainer. I had an entertainment lawyer. And I trained her. And she was the one who says, take the test, you idiot. I have enough actors owe me money. So I took the test. And what you, and I always say this, when it comes to police work or earned work, you bring something to the table. You got to bring something. My thing is always wanting to do and working. And I want to do what's right. And, you know, when it came to justice is always arbitrary. I don't worry about that. You want to do what's right. And you bring the best self to whatever profession you're in. And that was the one thing I did with this job is I had opportunity. I took that opportunity to make it my own. I learned from great investigators, great bosses. And that's the benefit of the policing. And then when I got into training, I started doing the paying it forward because the people who taught me before are no longer around on the job. And again, the only ones, the media rallies, I needed work. That was what it came down to. But it's a matter of what you bring to that work matters. And if you are a hard driver, if you are a motivated individual that you want to do what's right for the position. And I hated to see victims. I hated it. And I sometimes get choked up when I talk about certain cases, even still, because of I could not do enough that the person I have Raul Tomasi's in my history. And I don't catch everybody. But this is a case that if you're a detective, you want to find out what happened and you want to find her. I mean, that, you know, that's what you really want to do. You want to do what's right for the family. And you know, that's who you are as a person.
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of chill out gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
David Tarney, I think the first time you were ever on, I was like, you have the 1950s actor voice. Like, you got to promise me, man, you got to go audition for... You got to go audition for a part. You're in the city. You can just go do it. Go do it. Yeah.
They don't want me. Trust me. I tried. And they told me, get rid of the accent. That was what they were telling me. You don't need an accent like that. Yeah. So I did a play. I was supposed to play. I played a character years ago when I was a kid. I was in Iowa. They thought I was supposed to play a kid from Iowa. Do I sound like from Iowa?
That might be a stretch.
Not even close.
That might be a stretch. But AR Wyoming, in honor of Carm. Thank you so much, AR. Interesting question, Dr. Jordan, that was in the chat a second ago. Well, here, and it's connected to this. So American Crime Stories, fittingly enough, could it also be a show to the abductor that she is moving forward, Casey? But the other question was, if this was a targeted kidnapping, what would the abductor or abductors be thinking seeing Savannah Guthrie returning to the Today Show set, talking about maybe returning to work?
I don't think that's going to have any bearing whatsoever because they're just freaked out about getting caught. If they haven't put in a claim for any reward money or any ransom by now, I don't think you're ever going to get it. I also think that if this is the work of more than one person, that's great because one will turn on the other eventually. Your chain is only as strong as its weakest link. But that's kind of why I'm going with the one person theory right now, because I think that this would have broken down by now if there were two or more people involved. You may have had one ratting out the others for the $1 million. But $1 million to spend the rest of your life in prison, not worth it. So that's not going to move the needle unless there are co-conspirators who are willing to turn this person in. They're not watching Savannah on the Today Show. They're watching the sheriff and us and everybody else talk about developments in the case. And that's going to be the rest of their life. So I don't think that the perpetrator, whether it's kidnapper or bungling burglar, doesn't really matter. They're not focused on Savannah because they're not going after the money. That's the only reason she is interesting to them. they are watching the news because they want to know. If this were revenge, if this were done to hurt Savannah, I am very certain we would know that, because grudge collectors who seek revenge want you to know why they're hurting you. They want you to know. They don't just want you in pain. They want to know that you're the one who did it, and this is why. So if we don't have any clue that this was done in revenge to Savannah, I just think, again, this is just a bungling burglar. I'm 50-50 on whether they even knew who Nancy was. And I really think that they're just watching and hoping to get clues about what the police know. They're watching the news, not the Today Show.
Judy Herbert here, a friend of the show and incredibly generous. I am retired from the Department of Defense, 27 years, but David Sarney makes me want to go back to school to John Jay, even though I am 60, never too old. Is she too old, David Sarney?
Absolutely not. I have everybody. The thing about education, this is why I do it, and I appreciate that. It gets me choked up, because I think that learning is a process and learning is continuous. And, you know, that's why I think with what I've done and what Kurt's done and Dr. Casey too, we bang heads to everybody and we learn from each other. I learn a hell of a lot when I'm on these shows, because it's great, because the job that you do is not learned in a bubble. You learn from others. And education is ongoing, continuous. And anytime 60, I had a student who was, her third time going back. She was a nurse. She did some other things. She wanted to go back. It's what we want. And I think that's the thing about life. Life is a continuous journey. You learn each time. And that's why this is a learning experience to me every time I do this.
My mother's 86. She never stops. She's always reading, always learning, always teaching me what I'm doing wrong. Kurt Dabb, to you, there was a question just now. Does Savannah Guthrie have security? Let me just preface it by saying, a nobody like me, when I was at Fox News, and let's say I covered the Baltimore riots and other things, Fox News would always supply us with security, guys who looked like Kurt Dabb and had little pistols on them with red lasers and stuff. Kurt Dabb, NBC's got a lot of money. She's got to have security at this point, correct? Would you imagine she's got private security with her at all times?
I think so. And I think that I think we all saw that when she returned to the house yesterday or the day before, there was at least one guy that I can tell, you know, was a security guy for them. So I'm assuming that they do. And I mean, I would, too. I'd be surprised if she didn't have, you know, security before. But I'm grateful that she does now.
Hmm. Cajun Navy coming back up. Thank you to Ski Hat, Sarah. So, Dr. Jordan. Back to you. This is reported by various, mainly New York media outlets. We weren't privy to the conversation that Savannah Guthrie had. By the way, this is her. Just let's watch this video. This is her leaving the Today Show today. And you can see it's a quick exit out the...
Any progress in the investigation?
So now she... the newswoman has become the news. Of course, it's raining in New York, so it rains there every other day. And you'll see she does have security for sure, walking her to the SUV.
Hi, Ms. Guthrie. We are so sorry about what's going on. How are you holding up? Thank you. Any progress in the investigation?
I mean, that's just super difficult. And again, she's used to being a reporter. Now she or you know, anchor. And now she's the one having questions thrown at her. But Dr. Casey Jordan, again, she said to her colleagues, I don't know how to come back, but I don't know how to not to. She said to the staff, you're my family and I would like to try, meaning come back. She also says she remains hopeful. And I wanted you to know this direct quote. I wanted you to know that I'm still standing and I still have hope. And perhaps the most revealing moment, direct quote, I don't know what version of me that will be, but it will be. Again, it's really unknown. Hard. Yeah. Everything is unknown and we're such creatures of habit, but Dr. Casey Jordan and a very base human instinct is to want to know. You want to know I'm going to be okay. My parents are going to be okay. My kids are going to be okay. I'm not going to get some illness. I'm not going to get mugged. And she knows nothing as it relates to her mother. How tough is that?
The not knowing, I can't emphasize that enough. The people who lose loved ones to violent crime, kidnappings, murder, they need answers. And they will all tell me there is no such thing as closure. You will never get over it, but you will spend the rest of your life getting through it. And the number one thing that you do to get through it is to stay with people who love you and support you, which is why that was so heartening to see all of Savannah's colleagues really welcoming her back with open arms. But routine, don't do any major changes. Don't do any big unilateral moves. I live 5 minutes from Sandy Hook, which needs no introduction, right? And the perpetrator there was actually a student at the university where I teach. So that affected my community incredibly. Keep in mind that these parents who lost these 6-year-old children had to get up every single day knowing they were gone. But at least, even though the question surrounding how could a human do this to 6-year-olds was something they could never answer, they had so much love from the community. And they went back to work. One of the fathers of one of the girls lost there is a colleague of mine. He teaches at my university. He's still teaching there, one foot in front of the other. He's a jazz professor and he's doing jazz concerts all the time. And nothing makes us happier to see that he has gone on with his life. So I think Savannah's going to get through this with the love and support, but routine. You know, you don't want to just get up and walk around in your bathroom all day waiting for the phone to ring. So going back to work is the healthiest thing she could do right now, as long as it feels good. And if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. But for now, especially as she waits for answers, going back to the Today Show is the very best thing she can do, as long as it's not too much stress. If it turns out to be more than she can handle, I can see Savannah spinning off and having her own talk show or something else that might be a little bit less stressful, but also pure Savannah, because people love her. They want to see her. But maybe it will be something more specialized. I mean, look what the Walsh family did with America's Most Wanted. So there are other things you can do with your career in television, even if she decides not to anchor the Today Show.
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there's pre-rolls, there's bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
I covered Sandy Hook, and I remember I was just numb. I didn't know what to feel or how to feel it, but I do remember that was one of very few stories that when I arrived on scene, reporters were just crying, literally just walking around aimlessly crying. And I remember one reporter telling me, when you have kids one day, this is what you would look like. I can't bear it. It's too much. I'll never forget this either. And I'm not saying this to prop myself up. The night it happened, we needed to get food. We were starving. I have no idea what it's called, Dr. Jordan, but it's a little dive diner off of like a main road right in the center of town. But like
Colony Diner.
Maybe that's what it was, Colony Diner. Yeah. And this guy was sitting next to us and he was talking about it. He was wearing a cowboy hat, which stood out because it's Connecticut. It's not Tucson. And I just had a gut feeling that he was a parent. And it turned out he was a parent of one of the kids. He was just there because it was his regular spot. And when you're a reporter and you're sitting on the biggest story in the country that night, and my photographer and I were looking at each other once we realized it was apparent. And then my photographer's like, are you going to ask him? Are you going to ask, you know, see if he wants to do something on it? I didn't have kids. I just said, I just knew in my heart it wasn't the right thing to do. And I just remember walking out of there, left him alone. He ended up being on the news quite a bit, and I can't remember his name. But I'm just so glad I didn't ask him that night. But there are, man, I must be very overtired. But there are a few stories. That's one of them that can definitely make you just absolutely roll up into a ball. Go ahead, Casey.
I want to follow up on that because I don't know which man that was, but I think he may have been, because there's been a few who were on TV and were big advocates for gun change and so on. And I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I think he is the one who committed suicide. And one of the parents of Columbine victim committed suicide. So I just want to leave us by saying, when we have an answer to what happened to Nancy, that is when Savannah is going to need our love and support more than ever. Not now, but when we have the answers.
That's a good point. All right. So this is today, Kurt Dabb. This is back to you and David Sarney's wheelhouse right here. This is courtesy of Brian Enton, I believe, because Brian Enton gets everything. Not that I'm bitter. He also starts a YouTube channel and gets a bazillion subscribers. I'm not bitter at all. FBI agents, thank you to Brian Enton, are back in Nancy Guthrie's neighborhood right now, talking to several different neighbors. I'm just going to bring it back here. Kurt Dabb, day 33. What's going on here, if you had to guess? I mean, I know you're not privy to the investigation, but they're walking around. She's got a pistol on her in her holster there in a typical FBI looking car. What are they doing?
Yeah, no, that's one of the homicide detectives from the sheriff's department, the male subject there, with an FBI agent. So I'm guessing he's probably part of the task force, which is good. He's paired up with an FBI agent. I don't know, man, your guess is as good as mine as what they were doing back at the house. But yeah, that's one of the sheriff's department's homicide detectives and an FBI agent.
Yeah. David Sarney, one of the things I was reading today, and I haven't confirmed this, is that there is some sort of house that's under construction right nearby, and that they were actually going into that sort of yet to be constructed home. Any thoughts? I mean, any further thoughts? I mean, in reading some reports on this, they say that they could be, quote unquote, reexamining evidence, looking at a new theory, reconstructing movements, following up on new leads. But if you had to guess, someone also, again, mentioned this house under construction. What comes to mind about what they're doing here on day 33?
Well, the best place evidence could be is places where it haven't been searched. So we don't know if that was searched prior. Maybe they're just following up on that. Again, we're going all on this. When we talk about these cases and you talk about investigations, how thorough are your canvases? How thorough was the search? You know, they went back and decided to go into the septic tank. I don't know how it went. And, you know, I've argued this point before when it comes to crime scenes, and especially when you deal special category missings, how far do you search on the ground to find out where that person is close to the house? You had a 10-hour time frame, which this 10 to 11 hour time frame where we don't know where she is. How thorough was the extended canvas for your missing special category? And I'm going to talk about Nancy. Just talking about an 84-year-old missing who has no medication, no ability to walk that far. How far did we actually canvas? And if this house was a location that hopefully was checked prior, I don't know the distance between them. But, you know, this is, again, goes back to crime scene 101, searches 101. How long did that search go for? We went, you know, we saw video that was obtained 2 miles away from the mile and a half area radius that they set up. You know, these are things that come into play. So what you're doing is either you're backtracking on stuff that's been done to make sure it's been thoroughly done, or you're going and expanding it to places which did not hit the checkbox, that you missed on a checkbox. That's, you know, when you talk about lulls in investigation take place because either the media is out of it, and that's the good thing. The media is out of it. You're going to be able to do your boots on the ground work. And I'm hoping that this was not just one thing that they forgot about, that this is being a redo just to look again. That's why you had dogs out there once before. You had drones out there. You know, was this done? And, you know, we don't know. And I'm not going to speculate. I'm not laying blame to anything else. But you have to make sure that everything was done. We old school. We had an easel. We looked at the easel. What was done? What detective did that? We have all of the reports. How you, this team goes that block. These teams go to that block or whatever. This is different because it's a rural area. So how far did they really search? And that's the question you're looking at right now.
Kurt, thank you, David. Go ahead, Kurt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not really a rural area, David. It's just the plots of land for each individual house, you know, is 1 to 3 acres. It's extremely populated, and it's literally 1 mile north of the city limits. I know that the searches were done, that the searches were good, and that they covered a lot of area, a lot of ground. Heck, you know, I live, I think, 1.3 miles, you know, to the east of the house, and the FBI agents were over at my house, you know, at the end of week two. The search could have gone a little bit differently if the information was given, you know, relayed to the search and rescue, because, you know, they could have got more resources in there. The sheriff could have got the pilot in the plane, you know, that he was having a tiff with, and all that other nonsense. I saw something about the Cajun Navy, you know, that's been making the rounds too. But yeah, one thing that, you know, the audience needs to understand is, sure, you could have, you know, all 1.1 million people in Tucson, boots on the ground, you know, walking a grid search. But the fact of the matter is, you don't want to send people out into the middle of the desert. And right now it's 70 degrees. Today, you know, it was a high of 82. And that's pretty damn hot. Just to look for nothing. You know, when you're searching, you want to start from a known point and then spread out. And they did that initially, but, you know, these large organizations coming in and wanting to search, well, that's awesome. You know, I'm sure the Sheriff's Department, the FBI are grateful for, you know, their services, but where do you send them? You know, where do you send them? Yeah. That's the problem.
The other thing that Kurt knows really well, and I know a little bit from reporting there, is 82 degrees with the sun beating down on you in Tucson is different than 82 degrees in Miami, much different. That sun, man, really can do damage very quickly if you're not careful. Dr. Jordan, I'm coming back to you, but David Sarney, Kurt just mentioned it, the Cajun Navy, which I admittedly know very little about, but Brian Enton also broke this story last night. They literally have like a game plan for how to search for Nancy Guthrie, literally a booklet. And apparently they presented it to Pima County, and Sheriff Chris Nanos is like, no, not happening. Like, he does not want them involved. Your reaction, I mean, there's been so much. Typically, I would just say, oh, because, you know, it's a local jurisdiction. They want to investigate their own way. But this guy, obviously, and I'll have Kurt address this also, got a lot of detractors. Should he let someone like the Cajun Navy in there with a game plan to search?
Well, first, Kurt, thank you. I have geographical bias because being in New York, there's cameras and everything everywhere. And it does get hot in New York, too. It's just been miserable rain here. But, you know, when it comes to people with plans, and I always say this and I'm not a boss. I didn't take the test. I was avoided. I like being a detective. I saw people I worked with. There was no way I was going to be their boss. Leadership should be running interference for the investigation, not creating interference. If it's an opportunity, sometimes, you know, I understand bosses and egos and things like that. Would it make sense for them to use their plan? That would be something that would be up to their decision. I'm not going to say good, bad, or indifferent to it, but I know sometimes bosses and their egos get in the way. And the issue with the plane was one example of that. Your ego goes ahead of the investigation. It is an ego-driven business. The policing is that. You want that great arrest, that great collar, that great investigation. You want that. But sometimes the ego's got to step aside. That if I'm in the interrogation room with somebody and then I'm not getting anywhere through it, I have someone else come in and talk to them. That's how investigations are supposed to go. There should be no ego involved. If they have a plan, look at the plan, advise about the plan. Maybe it's something that you haven't done yet. Maybe it's something you'd like to use. Everyone has an idea. You know, Mike Tyson said everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Is this one of those situations? I don't know. I don't know their plan, so I can't say he should say no to it automatically. But I understand this ego-driven business, and bosses sometimes will put themselves out there because they want to be the forefront. The reality is you haven't heard from the case detective once, and you shouldn't. And bosses should just be the ones running the interference. Any issues, goes through me. If you have a problem, I'll fix it, as opposed to, well, my guys are doing this, and I'm telling them not to do this, and getting involved in the case. Run my interference. Stay out of it. Let the detectives do their job.
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Apologies. I said I can't skip over this comment because it's close to my heart. It's a 2-year anniversary that Carm and I actually recorded the audible version of Surviving Survivor. There are a lot of new people here. My mother's a child Holocaust survivor. I vowed to tell her story. The book's actually only about 20% her story, and it's a fascinating one. But it's more from a woman that's been through a lot. She lost a child. She lost my father during the writing of the book. And it's a lot about life lessons, staying positive through adversity. She curses at me in the book, which makes it a little funnier. So check it out if you want to check it out. It's available anywhere books or audible books are sold. The United Cajun Navy came, not the original Cajun Navy. Okay, so it's United Cajun Navy. By the way, we do a live panel show like this Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Please like and subscribe. Tomorrow, my mom will be joining me at 1 p.m. Eastern time. I saw a comment that says, I love your show, except on Fridays. And I could not believe what I was reading. I could not believe what I was reading, but I just had to ignore it. But it's deep in my soul. I had to bring it back out, I guess. I couldn't contain it. I tell Carm, it gets tiring sometimes when you got a lot of hate, but now Carm getting the hate, unbelievable. And look at this. I just re-listened to your book. Thank you so much. It means a lot. The book is a real labor of love. And I'm actually working on a book about my dad, who was a psychiatrist, had a very unique take on life. And he wrote his own book in 1971, Humanistic Psychiatry, From Oppression to Choice. And no one has ever been able to understand a word of it. So my mom and I are deconstructing it and trying to rewrite it, but it was really his philosophy on life. So there you go. But back to Dr. Casey Jordan. This memorial has been growing outside Nancy's driveway. We see it in photos. We see the photo, you know, the pictures, the gift card, the greeting cards, all of that. The interesting thing is people like you and profilers warn that a lot of times perpetrators will come back to the scene of the crime and they will see what's going on. Let me stop right there. I mean, is that a reality? Do they come back? Will they come to see what is happening at a scene like this, Dr. Jordan?
It all depends on their motive. And I don't think that's going to apply in this particular case. So, yes, we have seen serial killers and mostly sexually motivated offenders return to the scene of the crime and kind of wallow in their success. But again, it wouldn't fit if this is a bungling burglar. The chances of actually being caught are too great if you return to the scene of the crime. So it all depends on what the motive is. If the motive were thrill, if it were power, if it were sex, then that's possible. But I think the motive was a burglary for theft. It's way too high risk. And of course, that's how they get caught. But these memorials are touching, and what, you know, they're not really about the Guthrie family. They are about the catharsis of the people who love her and who feel helpless and want the Guthrie family to know that we think about them and we are really looking for a resolution to this. But at the same time, you know, we've studied this. I mean, we literally had to, with Sandy Hook, call in dump trucks to get rid of all the stuffed toys that had been left, you know, in downtown Newtown. It's a way for the public to process. But we don't know what the answer is, right? We tend to go a little bit worst case scenario with this one. So I don't know. I think that it probably means something to the Guthrie family to see everything that people are leaving the cards and the toys and the flowers and all this stuff out there. But when it stops, it's like the 5th of July, right? So then there's always kind of a downward side to our catharsis, because the case is going to go quiet. It doesn't mean they're not working on it, but at what point do we just go back to our everyday lives? I think we're on the cusp of that right now.
I remember when Gabby Giffords was shot, people died. There was, I was at the hospital, a UMC, and there was a massive memorial. It filled up the whole front of the hospital. That memorial, they all eventually, filter down and filter out. But to you, Kurt, just another question or two, then we'll get final thoughts. It's been a long week, and I appreciate everybody being here, especially, Casey Jordan and David Sarney, but especially Kurt Dabb and his buddies from Pima County, who are awesome and give us a lot of insight on the ground. But look at Carm. I'm fine. Glad to hear that, Carm. Glad to hear that. If that was me, she'd say no one asked, but I will not say that to my mother. But Kurt Dabb, if you are the detective and you apparently know this detective that we just watched some video, would you occasionally be going by this memorial, looking at the cards, just making sure there's nothing that caught your attention that was out of place, that said something odd?
Yeah, I don't know if I, as the lead case detective, would be doing that, but I'm assuming, or I would delegate it to another detective on my team, you know, to take care of that aspect of it. And I'm sure, you know, that's one of the things that the task force is doing. Mm. Everything is about information gathering. As much information as you can get, the better. And it's going to take some time to suss through all that information, all these tips that have come in, but that's the stuff that's going on right now, is they're able to focus that. The ancillary noise is a little bit more quiet, so they're really able to focus at the task. And really, once an arrest is made, that's when the casework really begins. So they haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Yeah. Another amazing panel. Listen, I talk a bit of smack. I call it the global phenomenon. I might switch it over to the universal or the infinite phenomenon one of these days just to annoy Susan. But we really do have the best guests in all of true crime and the best panels. David Sarney is one of them, a retired NYPD detective. You heard he was a teacher, and he still is a teacher. It comes full circle, but now at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, which is, if not the best, one of the best in all the country. So thank you for your service, David. And just your final thoughts here. There was a question up there, and I can't remember at this time of night from 1 second to the next what I was going to ask you. But, someone said we're all going to be shocked when we find out who's responsible for this. Your response to that, your final thoughts?
Well, targeted location. You have video of a still of somebody fitting the description. We don't know if that's the same person or not prior to. No one is above or beyond suspicion at this point. You know, this is one thing we've always said. Just because you say one thing doesn't mean it's actually true. Every lead has been looked at. Everything is going back to what it is. Theories aren't the concern right now. What you have to work with is the fact-based investigation, which was whatever was recovered at that house is important. Whatever was recovered in the field is important. You've got to, you know, we had that video of car vehicles going someplace. We got to find anything that ties to the crime scene that night. That's what it comes down to. Will that happen with this revisiting of information, going back and maybe reinterviewing people and looking at this, because you have such a mountain of evidence? I think they have about 10,000 hours of video that they're still going through. So we have, and Kurt's right, they have this, the surface hasn't been scratched yet. But I'll tell you now, the devil's in the details. And that will come up. And will people be shocked? Who's to say? But I'll tell you, it has to. Reality is, we cannot make an arrest unless you have probable cause. And that probable cause is going to come from the evidence that you have and the totality of circumstances to get you to what it is. And right now, we have not had that. The investigators have not had that. There will be a break in this eventually. And that break will lead to an arrest or arrests. But it's just a matter of time. The investigators are doing their due diligence. They're going to do their job, and they're going to do what's right in this case.
Thank you for that. Kurt Dabb is a retired Pima County homicide detective. His buddy, who's a SWAT commander and still an active sergeant, is Aaron Cross. They were both on the show recently. Kurt, this is tough. 33 days in, no suspects publicly identified, no confirmed vehicle. You heard the sheriff the other day. I don't know what the hell he was talking about, but said they had to look at hundreds of thousands of vehicles. I don't even know if there are hundreds of thousands of vehicles in Tucson, period. The DNA turned out to be nothing. Are you remaining optimistic? And your final thoughts?
I definitely absolutely am optimistic. Look, I did this job for over 20 years, seven of it in homicides. And although it may appear, you know, that this is either one of two things, right? It was a really well planned out thing, or this individual or individuals are extremely lucky. And the luck always runs out. We don't catch the smart ones. It's cop parlance. We don't catch the smart ones. These individuals are dumb, and they're going to make a dumb mistake. They're going to say something dumb. They're going to do something dumb. They're going to go back to where they left the body, if they left the body somewhere. These are all things that are important. It's just a natural progression of crime. Criminals do dumb shit. Plain and simple.
COE, make sure that we cut that as a soundbite immediately after the show. I will cut that. All I have to do is put in the AI thing and put the word S-H-I-T, and it will come right out. I will do that. But you heard that. That gives me hope, and I agree. Eventually, the mistake will be made, and I think right now, and I'll ask Dr. Casey Jordan this in just 1 second, but please, on your way in, or more likely now your way out, please hit the like and subscribe button. We also have an active Patreon page. You'd be shocked how much hitting the like and subscribe button helps us. It's a lot. So please do. It just takes your index finger to do that. Dr. Casey Jordan, do criminals do dumb shit, to quote the great Kurt Dabb? Will this case be cracked because eventually there will be a misstep and a mistake, and they've got to be right going forward without making a mistake in order for that to not happen? Your final thoughts?
Yes, 100%. And I want an asterisk too. So I will say they do dumb shit. Okay. Remember, like the mafioso bodies with the parking tickets stuck to their bloody butts, you know? And I mean, there's so many stories, you know, of incredibly dumb stuff that they do. But mostly I think that this guy's going to get tagged for a different crime and brought in, and they're going to swab his cheek, and we're going to have a DNA match. Okay. I think it's going to be that easy. I will not be shocked by any ending to this. I do think this person is probably 3 to 4 degrees away from the Guthrie family. I don't believe it's the family, but I mean, previous service worker worked on the roof of the house, you know, something.
Just tell me it's not Kevin Bacon, please. That's it. You said 4 degrees.
I will. So, okay. I'd be like 2 degrees from Kevin Bacon. But one final thing, because we're all thinking about the Guthrie case. But I had some very quick final thoughts, because Kurt said sus in the British force, that they're going to suss things out. And I want to commend him on using sus in a way that 13-year-olds don't. Okay. That when things are sus, I want to point out that with David, the 6-year-old wants to go and take his class because of him. Okay. He wants to be in his class. And I taught at John Jay for 10 years and I had some 60-year-olds, but trust me, they want to take it because it's David. That's why that lady was trying to say, and you all missed it. And then finally, I just want to say to you, Joel, that if there's a freaking calendar of guests for the men, there better be one for the women too. And I don't even look good in a bikini, but I want to be in it. Okay. Just saying.
I'm down, man. It was not my idea, for full disclosure. There've been a few things. They want us to start STS singles. The ratio here though is like about 9.5 women to one guy, but we can do that. And they want a calendar. So as long as I don't have to be on the calendar, we're all good. Okay. Yeah. COE, you want to be in the women's calendar or what? Let me know. I'm sure she's chomping at the bit to get in the calendar. Carm, you want to be in the women's calendar, Carm? We'll discuss that tomorrow. How about that for a tease? Join us tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern. Carm said, I want to talk Nancy Guthrie. I think she feels simpatico. They're just 2 years apart in age. So I guess we'll talk to Nancy Guthrie, but you have to follow me, by the way, on Twitter. If you want to know showtimes at Podcast STS, or on X at Podcast STS. Instagram, I post cute little pictures of Fred and Ethel and my kids. I should put my kids before Fred and Ethel, but I kind of like Fred and Ethel. They don't bother me as much. On Instagram at Surviving Survivor. Thank you all for being here. Love you, America. Love you, New York. Love you, Connecticut. And love you, Tucson, Arizona. And please, please bring her. Bring her home. Bring Nancy back. Bring Nancy home.